Tuesday morning with a cup of joe and a shot of rye. This is number 53, 54, I think. I'm not too sure now.
I thought we were at 53, 54.
Yeah, like, 54 continuing like from when it was cup of joe. But this but this is like the fourth episode we've had together, so I feel like.
No, it's more than four.
Four or five?
Yeah, five at least.
Okay, five. We'll say five.
It's been 5 weeks. Too many weeks.
Yeah. and we're here, and it's very windy outside. I almost, you know, had an asthma attack kind of going outside. There was a fire near my house. In a field nearby, hashtag prairie problems, because I've never heard any other city having that problem. Maybe Saskatchewan, I don't know.
Maybe Regina, Saskatoon,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that's probably the most like exciting part of their day, too, right? It's like, oh, there's a fire.
I mean, they got nothing else there. what a boring province. I hate that province. I straight up hate Saskatchewan. It sucks. It's so boring. I've never been more bored just like looking at something or being in a place.
I remember when our train made a stop there. It's like we made a stop in Saskatoon and we stepped outside and we saw nothing out there.
Yeah.
And then so like this person I was sitting with was like, so what's there to do out here? And I was like, literally nothing.
I know. Like drink.
Yeah, exactly. Drink. Watch the Blades play? I don't know.
The what are they called? The Rough Riders.
Yeah, the Rough Riders.
I can't believe I forgot that. But I remember I was driving there, driving through there last summer, and I would stopped in Regina because I had some time, and I figured, let's see what Regina's all about. Mistake. I just remember going through the mall, and I was just walking, like, these people have nothing. I just felt, like, pity for them. Like, they literally have nothing. They don't know any better. I feel so bad for them. Like, their sports stores are just... Full of riders gear.
Really? That's gross.
They're all like, I'm just like, there's nothing here for you.
Yeah.
You're in the, like, what do you do? I feel so bad. I feel like I'm some kind of higher being.
Yeah, yeah. I remember someone told me that she was from Australia and she was visiting a friend in Saskatoon. And I was like, oh, what's the plan when you get there? And I was like, well, my friend said we can drink. And I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah, no.
There's nothing there, man.
Yeah.
From border to border,
it's unfortunate.
There's nothing there from about west of Winnipeg all the way until...
The east of, like, Alberta.
Until you get to, like, Edmonton or Calgary. Once you hit that line and then you're in the foothills and then the mountains.
Right.
Like, there's nothing in between there.
If you were to build, like, a nuclear shelter, that'd be the best place to do it.
Yeah, because you couldn't... They wouldn't do it. They'd be like... Well, actually, you know, they would bomb it because the wheat... We get a lot of food
that's
from
true. That's true. I remember, who was it? My friend was saying someone told him was like, "Yeah, if you were to nuke Winnipeg, that's perfect because that's where all the stuff moves through." And I was like, "Well, that's kind of an unsettling thought because that's kind of true."
It is true. because the Trans-Canada Highway from Winnipeg into Ontario, that's the only link between Canada and the rest of the between Ontario and the rest of the country. That's the only thing linking east and west, literally in Canada, okay. If you bomb that, boom. I remember what I've heard stories where it shut down. It crippled the country. They had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
All the shipping lanes, how many trucks go through there? Man,
that's true.
That's if you're being tactical and if you're listening to this, Russia or North Korea, that's where you got to hit it, man.
No. North Korea and South Korea are working their things out. It's all good. Russia's still questionable, but, you know, other than
whoever else has got nukes.
Whoever's listening, take this out of context. We're giving you military tactician advice. So, you know, just...
from two undergraduate university students.
On this show, we cover everything. Literally everything. But, yeah, we were talking about wind. We started this. Very windy. A lot of fire. There's a fire nearby. But other than that... It's finally got warmer weather. It's really nice to be.
22 degrees out.
Yeah. Did you take advantage this week at all of the warmer weather at all?
Wow. Well, this sounds... Well, I don't know why that was a weird question, but
why?
I felt like... I feel like I'm on a talk show.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I'm in my talk show position.
Well, we're just...
I know.
This is how we warm up, right? So.
No, I haven't done anything outside.
Ryan Stelter, there was an increase in the degrees of centigrade here today in Winnipeg. Any plans that you went through with this week?
Well, you know, actually, I enjoyed some walking out in the park with my dog.
I love how quiet it got on, like, the recording screen. need our NPR voices with...
Yes, this was a great opportunity for me to take in some time with the kids and play some Frisbee and... Frisbee out in the quad. Classic university activity.
Oh, boy.
No, I didn't do anything. I basically have... All I've done all week is go to the gym, read... I've read like 2 books in a week.
Oh,
I'm insane. I'm just devouring. I'm devouring literature right
now. There you go.
And then yeah, basically that's all I have done. What have you done, Joe?
Well, that's good. I mean, you're saving money, right? And it's like, you know,
I have no money.
Oh, okay. Well, you're not spending money, so that's good. But it's like, you know, it's a nice, because you got that job at
I got that job in Kenora.
Right. So it's at least you can like enjoy yourself now before like it gets heavy, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it's nice to decompress after school, but it also it's kind of almost depressing because I feel like there's no structure in my life. Like I have to structure my life, so it's a bit of an adjustment period.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to work now.
I am, but I'm still feeling like it's like Saturday, Sunday. I was like, did I forget to do something? Like,
yeah.
It's just because I always put my readings and stuff to the end, right? So
obviously.
Yeah. So, but this week just worked. Yesterday, went golfing for the first time.
Ooh,
so
where
that
at?
Was nice. Went to Oakwood.
Okay.
Shout out to the people at Oakwood.
Sponsor us, please.
Yeah. It was bad because we had a tee time at 12:45. And there was a really slow group that took over at the front, like way at the front. And we ended up being finished at around 7. So it was a 7-hour day of being on the golf course.
No, I don't believe you.
Because it was so slow. And yeah. And so my friends and I, we walked the course too, hey? So,
yeah.
Yeah, just
obviously got to get that cardio.
Yeah, of course. Every day's leg day. And it felt good, but I was just like, man, I wish I could have been out here at like 4, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just so slow. And I'm excited. My golf game is shaping up. I sunk a 20-foot putt, so I was very excited about that.
I can't putt for worth a damn. I
last year was bad because I kept like overpowering it.
Yeah.
So like I would putt and it'd be like out onto the rough, like on the fringe. It wouldn't even stay on the green anymore.
Yeah.
But this year, no, not too many going back and forth.
That's impressive.
So I'm very excited. I might even go to the range after this show, after
wow.
record this. I don't know. We'll see.
Living wild.
But other than that, not too much. Just golfed. I've tried to like stay in. Like I stayed in Friday night because I've been like, because now that school's over, like it's just you do stuff on the weekends now since it's like I've been working. So it's nice to just have like the one night where I can just sit with a pizza and like lay on the couch and do a little thing. But other than that.
Life's boring right now for both of us.
It is. It really is. Like, I wish I could be like, yeah, well, I went to here. I was doing this.
You didn't go to Coachella, though.
I didn't. I posted a tweet about Coachella, and I got some clout for that because, like, there's, like, a fair going on near my house.
Is that the one at in the parking lot of Rona or whatever?
Of KP. And then it goes to Rona, and it officially becomes a Rona fair. But there was a big Ferris wheel that they were setting up. And I was like, hey, this is my opportunity. Took a picture. We're here at Coachella, and because like every picture I've seen from Coachella has come from it's just a picture of the Ferris wheel, or people in front of the Ferris wheel. And I'm so glad we segued into this because I have a small rant, tiny rant about Coachella, and it's this: it's the Coachella Music Festival. But you look at social media, and I've seen zero pictures of the music and just pictures of just people. Of just people in outfits, in like ridiculous outfits. Like it's just like
crazy outfits.
It's like, I don't know why you spent that much money on it. I remember last year or 2 years ago, someone found like a piece of paper where this person actually set up like their morning outfit, their afternoon outfit, their evening outfit for each of the 3 days of the weekend. And I was like, I'm mad because I feel like it's a music festival, right? And that's what it should be all about, right? Like, it should be about the music. I mean, there was a bunch of good artists there.
Oh, they're crazy good.
Probably, like for everyone, too, right? Like, there were some good EDM artists that probably...
Yep.
Kygo was there, wasn't
Kygo
he?
Kygo was there,
Kygo
yeah.
was there. Like, for me personally, like, SZA was there.
I don't know. I can pull it up.
Yeah, if we can pull up the... We'll both pull it up. It's pretty easy.
No, it was a good lineup.
It was a really good lineup, and it's just... I don't know, like... I'm all about just letting people do their thing, right? Like, I've been trying to be less judgmental of people, right? Like, just being like, okay, you do you, right? Like, you do you. You're not harming me. I'm not harming you. But it's just, for some reason, when it comes to music fest...
Yeah, The Weeknd, Beyonce, Eminem, Odessa, Portugal the Man, Migos, Cardi B, Miguel, Tyler the Creator, Post Malone. St. Vincent, The War on Drugs, Vince Staples,
Staples, yes. And Vince Staples brought out Kendrick that one time.
Yep, French Montana, Vance Joy.
Yep.
Vance Joy's coming to Winnipeg, I think, in June.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, it's Coachella is definitely like a privileged event. Like, you need to set up the trip, you need to pay for the tickets,
you
need to set all that up, right?
I think it's more become now like a lifestyle thing.
Yeah, it really has.
It's,
and it's
become the personification of what Instagram models have become and what LA's personified
as. Yeah. And it makes me sad because it's like, as someone who can't afford and, you know, maybe might not be able to afford in the future to go to Coachella, to like drop this much money on Coachella, right? It's like, I want to still be able to experience the festival from the, through the pictures, right? And yeah, sure, they had live streams on and stuff, but it's like, yeah. I think it's still cool to like see what the fan experience is like from the crowd, you know, like where you're standing and you're with a bunch of people and you can see the stage. Yeah. Like, I love those pictures because I think like those kind of pictures, like they really capture, you know, the artist in their element. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're performing for you.
Yeah.
They're playing their songs. They're doing their own thing. But I didn't see any of that.
No.
And, you know, maybe it's just me being bitter. Maybe it's just me just being like, oh, there's, it's not about the, it's not about the music. It's about the clothing. when did it become about the music? You know?
I have no idea when it was ever. I've only ever heard of it as just.
And it's just.
Oh, I was wearing a shirt today that was Coachella inspired for my shirt.
There you go. And, yeah, I don't know. That's just my small thing about it. Like, to me, I feel like when it comes to any music festival, like, I want to see action from on the stage. Like, what's going on? You know, what's everybody doing? But instead, I just got people standing in front of Ferris wheels and sunsets and sitting and eating food. And, oh my God, I've never seen taco in a bag before. What's a taco in a bag?
That's like a staple festival food.
Yeah,
I think.
It really
I
is. Well, it's so easy, right?
Oh, I know. Any festival shoves a bunch of Dorito things into a half-open Dorito bag.
And just overprice it.
Yeah,
oh,
it makes
perfect.
$9 and people are like, this is the best.
It's perfect.
I think music festivals in general are overrated.
Do you think so?
As a whole.
Yeah, well, I never got to really go. I was supposed to go to Pemberton, but I got canceled.
Yeah.
But I want to go to a music festival once, just once. I wanted to go to Warped Tour, but I think they're stopping Warped Tour now too. So
I've been to one in my whole entire life, and it was not even because I wanted to.
Oh, was that for?
I was in Camrose covering the Big Valley Jamboree.
That's right. That's right.
The largest country music festival in Western Canada.
Wow, Yodel Kid would have been on there for sure. Right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Yodel Kid was at Coachella. Yodel Kid's got a song now.
Okay, so he inked a deal with Atlantic Records.
Yep.
So at this point, I'm like,
I'm over him, man. I thought he was a meme.
I'm over him, but at the same time, like, I just see all these people, like, just like, oh my, Yodel Kid, let's bring him to the whiteout for the Yodel Kid 2018. I'm just like, guys, like, this is like, this is the epitome of just commercialization and selling something that's hit, right? Like, that's like happening right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, Yodel Kid should not be famous.
No.
If we're being completely honest, he should not be famous.
He should have been a viral video and that's it.
Yeah, but because, like, it's just he got to, did he go on Ellen? I don't know if he did.
He's been on Ellen. He was at Coachella.
He's at Coachella.
Yeah, he's got a song now, like, almost weeks, like, a couple weeks after.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't write that song. And
oh, for
it's
sure.
It's about love and stuff, and he's 7 years old, as if he knows what, you know, being famous for loving you. I remember I saw him on Instagram like a couple days after I saw like the video was out, right? Mm-hmm. And he had an Instagram and he was called Lil Hank Williams, and I was kind of like, I'm pretty sure his parents and anyone else, this was all like a design plan for him to get famous.
This was
all set up. They were waiting for the right time or one of his videos to blow up,
mm-hmm.
and they did, and now they're capitalizing on it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's 100% what it was.
I mean, not to put our tinfoil hats on, you know, right? But like this is like the fact that he got discovered singing in Walmart, and then within a span of like a month, all of a sudden is signed to a record deal.
Oh, it's less than a month.
Has people talking about him, has a hash. Like, it's just, it becomes to a point where you're just like, okay, well, like, this is absolutely manufactured, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did, I tried looking it up. I was like, okay, well, how was Yodel Kid discovered? It's like, oh.
It was
well,
just a viral video someone saw on Twitter.
Yeah, someone, oh, he posted a tweet. Apparently he's famous in his town. And it's like, okay, well, if he's famous in his town,
he was trying to do something larger than that.
Maybe he was discovered by someone. They were like, okay, let's try and get this going. Like, we need to get this viral. It might work out. And it did.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I don't know, man. I'm over the Yodel Kid.
Oh, I am too. And I like how he's called the Walmart Yodel Kid. I don't want, like, that's almost an insult. I don't want to be, Chris D'Elia was talking about this on his podcast. I don't want to be known as the Walmart anything.
But like, I feel like that adds like the whole conspiracy
the whole, like, Walmart kind of. And then he had a concert at the Walmart. Like a day or two later. I'm like, this is so planned and so weird how, you know, it's not like he kind of became a meme and then all of a sudden he got on Ellen and then he faded away. No, he's going to milk this for every penny that it's worth. And not him, actually. He's probably a victim in all this is his parents and people around him. He's 7 years old. There's no way he can grasp how big he really got.
But his parents were probably loving this.
Oh, yeah. They're loving it. They're cashing in on it. And they're, mm-hmm. and like even Chris Lee was saying, too, there's no chance his parents aren't racist.
No. Yeah.
I mean, we saw that with the bullying kid.
Yeah, exactly. Folks, the media you consume is being manufactured by corporate powers. Remember that. The Walmart Yodel Kid, it's right there, right in front of your face.
And then he has a concert at Walmart. Walmart loves it because now their name is associated with a viral meme.
Right, because, what? I mean, if we're being honest, like, there was some, like, little iffiness around Walmart for a bit there. Like, you know, like, oh, they're offs, you know, they use child labor, they use wrong labor.
Nobody cares anymore.
But this is, like, the perfect, like, sort of mass to be like, hey, the Walmart Yodel Kid, right? I don't know.
I thought it was a fun meme. I enjoyed it for what it was. The remixes, it was fun for a little bit. I'm like, okay, cool, this is the meme of the month.
Yeah.
It's no longer the meme of the month, and now it's being shoved down my throat everywhere.
I mean, people are, like, sports teams are coming out to warming up to the song, to the remix.
Yeah, and people are like, I like his song. His song is good. His song slaps. Low-key love his song. Like, people who have influence. And I'm like,
there's that one guy in our city who's like trying to get him to come to the whiteout, and I'm just like, no, don't. Like, this is so overkilled, but it's like, no, we want the Yodel Kid. Yodel Kid 2018. It's like,
this is what happened with the Catch Me Outside girl.
Yeah.
What the heck happened to her, man? She's now like,
she's famous. Like, she's money.
Hardcore famous.
Yeah.
Than I ever wish I could ever be famous. And her 15 minutes of fame is kind of still going.
Yeah. But it's just, I think it's just like that.
She's famous for the dumbest thing.
To get a bit serious, I think it's just because, like, we as a society just love, like, sensations, right? Like, Yodel Kid, Cash Me Outside, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's so easy to get around that. And it's like, I don't know, maybe it's
I think we like them for the wrong reasons. We like the Cash Me Outside girl because it's how ridiculous she talked.
Right.
And how stupid she looked. Not because she was talented or anything, or the Yodel Kid. We like the Yodel Kid because it's crazy and ridiculous to see a 7-year-old boy yodel in a Walmart. It's funny.
Exactly.
It's not like because maybe he's got talent. I don't know. I'm not a yodeler. I don't have any kind of.
But it's just like. I don't know. It's just like.
We like them for the wrong reasons.
I feel like we with social media, like. Before, like, you probably see these videos on, like, America's Funniest Home Videos, right? That's probably where you'd see the Yodel Kid. That's probably where you might see Cash Me Outside. And then that would be it. But because, like, it's so easy to spread just the meme and the trend of the month on social media, like, it allows these, like, people who shouldn't be famous to get way more traction than they deserve.
Yeah.
It's like the Yodel Kid gets a deal with Atlantic. How many artists have been out there grinding for, like, 5, 10-plus years trying to ink a deal?
Yeah, and have probably way better stuff than a yodeling 7-year-old.
And just, you know, like, if I'm on my grind for 10 years and I see the Yodel Kid ink a deal, I'm pissed, right? Like, I'm mad because it's like, why are we rewarding stupidity? Well, not stupidity, but I mean, I guess with the Cash Me Outside girl. Like,
Cash Me Outside girl, more now, because she's now an artist. Yeah, she's a rapper.
She signed a deal, too. She signed a deal, too, right? And it's like, why are we rewarding people who get their 15 minutes of fame? Why are we allowing them to, like, keep shining in the spotlight for, like, the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to, maybe the Yodel Kid will have, something will happen with him. You never know. He's still young, but it's like, I don't know. Child artists never really pan out, I think. No. I mean.
Unless
you're Michael Jackson, but, like.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think I'm over it and I'm done with them.
I am
and
too, man.
Just stop it.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Well, at least we got all that out of our system.
We got it all out of here.
Yodel Kid.
Yodel Kid sucks.
Yodel Kid, just be a kid, man. Just if you're somehow listening to this, you know,
even when you see him in pictures and stuff, he never looks like he's having fun or happy or
it's posed, right?
Like, he always looks like he's in pain.
It's like. Yeah, it's like, just let the kid be a kid, right?
He's 7 years old. What is he?
And it's like we want to thrust him in front of, like, a bunch of people who are just...
Well, he's at Coachella, yeah.
Yeah, who like him because you laugh at him, essentially.
Yeah.
That's how it started out. You laughed at him when you first saw him, right? Because you're like, who's this kid yodeling in Walmart, right?
Yeah.
It's like, now you're just like, oh my God, I love the Yodel Kid. It's like, no, you didn't. You didn't. You love the trend that's surrounding the Yodel Kid.
Yeah. Well, and I did too. I thought it was funny for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, having the, like, Kike Hernandez, I think, of the Dodgers, his walk-up song was the was the Yodeling Kid remix.
I'm pretty sure someone on the A's, too.
A bunch of baseball players were doing it, and it was played at clubs that weekend or for a couple weekends. That's funny. That's, like, just whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool, but...
Now it's just...
Nobody...
it's too bad, man.
Bang my head against the wall.
It's too bad.
And here we are sitting in a... booth and nobody thinks we're not famous yet.
Joe. We're not yet. Not yet. We'll post this more. I'll post this tonight. I'm gonna hashtag Yodel Kid and see what happens. How about that? Right?
Yeah, that's good. Maybe people who just search for Yodel Kid will I got a bunch of Italians in my feed the other day.
You got a what?
I had a bunch of Italians on my Twitter.
Italians. Oh, okay. Yeah. Why? What happened?
Because I tweeted the Italian hockey team won in regulation or whatever to advance to like.
Oh, I saw that against Great Britain.
No, it wasn't Great Britain. It was Slovenia.
Oh, okay.
Great Britain is now going to be in the World Championships next year, which is crazy.
Okay.
But yeah, no, they scored this goal, and it was this guy named Diego something. Not an Italian-sounding last name, and I just did. You have to know a lot in order to get this tweet.
Okay.
But Fabio Grosso, who scored the extra time goal against Germany in the 2006 World Cup semifinals,
mm-hmm.
is famous in Italian folklore.
Folklore.
He's famous in Italian sporting sense.
Yeah, okay.
And I just tweeted out, Diego Costa greater than Fabio Grosso, and all of a sudden, like, four or five Italians are, like, liking and retweeting
it. Oh, nice.
I thought it was hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Like, I just did it was a joke.
I think, I'm pretty sure, like, Italian Twitter, when they find something that they want to interact with, they'll attack it in any way they can. Because it's like, I remember this philosophy account that I followed. They tweeted something talking smack about an Italian philosopher.
Yeah.
And it was fine when he tweeted it. A month later, he quote tweeted it, and he was like, "Guys, check this out! Like, there's a bunch of Italians in my mentions, and you look at it, and they're all just talking smack to him in Italian, like just like with the fingers, with the right? Fingers. It was the funniest thing, and I'm just like, wow! Like, I want to see what like different cultural, because we have Canadian Twitter, we know what Canadian Twitter is about, but like,
sucks.
I've seen Scottish Twitter. Scottish Twitter seems lit.
Yeah."
I want to see what Italian Twitter is like, because that seems hilarious.
I got to start following random Italian dudes.
Yeah. Oh, I remember the first Scottish guy I followed. It was like recommended for you. And I was like, yeah, follow. I want to see all these tweets where like they just use slang and they're like, bay, I, and all that stuff. And talking, and Scottish is not Celtic, but I don't know. There's probably Irish Twitter too, talking Celtic, but.
I thought they talked Gaelic.
Gaelic?
Maybe. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think it's Celtic.
Celtic
and Gaelic.
Might be right.
I think it's like different
areas.
Because
I've been to the Dublin airport and they actually have a different language up on some of their things. It's like, where am I?
There's lines.
Where's the, what's exit? Get me to the exit, please.
Oh, man. Like, yeah. I don't know.
But, I think we're pretty. I noticed this the other day with how my Twitter is. I'm pretty secluded and wrapped up in my own bubble world of sports Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I see other versions, other Twitters, and I'm like, well, oh, I forget, like there's all music Twitter, there's rap Twitter,
yeah,
there's,
yeah,
whatever Twitter, and there's these, all the nerd Twitter, yep. gaming Twitter, yep. and all like all these different types of Twitters. I'm like, there's a whole nother world out there. It
oh,
sounds stupid, but like,
no, it's
you think you kind of get a grasp of what's going on Twitter.
No,
you don't. You have no idea.
It's so easy to form an echo chamber for yourself when yep. it comes to Twitter, right? So yeah, like I know for me personally, like I think I have sports Twitter, I have rap Twitter, I have nerd Twitter, and I have like the stupid joke Twitter, like all those accounts, like
yeah, yeah.
like dubstep for dads and drill and all.
I don't
them.
Follow any of those. I look for Instagram as my meme account.
Oh, is it? No, yeah,
it's my meme place.
I love it because it's like Twitter is just it's so easy to digest, right? It's just yeah. like you see a dumb joke and it's like I love that.
Yeah, Twitter, like the good jokes will come up regardless. Of,
yeah,
because I have. I have my sports Twitter, but then it's divided up into all the different teams I follow,
mm-hmm.
and then and sports I follow, and then you have your local. I have the local Twitter with yeah. just everyone who's from Winnipeg, which is actually not that much.
Like, are these like lists that you have?
No, I have oh, lists okay. in my head, and then I have
okay. Because I was I don't know anyone who uses lists.
The only thing lists are good for is TweetDeck.
Oh, okay.
And I use TweetDeck sometimes, but then you have kind of like student journalist Twitter and yep. then like Canada Twitter and then like news Twitter, which is very small.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
then I have my European Twitter, which goes at which goes all night basically.
Right,
so when I wake
right.
up in the morning, I have tweets to scroll through.
Oh, okay,
which is
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, that's true.
But like I have different segments and they all come alive during different parts.
Mm.
So sometimes my tweets fit into those and then sometimes
yeah.
they don't.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. That's
like when you're all tweeting about a game, everyone like so there's some moments where my whole Twitter feed is dedicated to the Super Bowl,
yeah.
to a Raptors Toronto game,
to the game or like to double OT last night.
Yeah,
or
there was a lot of people tuned in, and then like Super Bowl is the big one.
Yeah,
World Cup.
Yeah,
stuff that
Stanley
that,
Cup,
Stanley Cup Finals,
World Series for a bit was there.
World like, Series kind of, but yeah. like Super Bowl is really the night I think where
yeah.
sports Twitter takes over.
Oh, it's incredible. I think this year's like this year's even like playoffs was amazing, you know? Like just
yeah.
especially the Saints and Vikings game.
Yeah.
That was a really good night for Twitter cuz like, it was like all the jokes, all the pictures you saw,
the memes that
Stephon
came out
Stephon Diggs
of
throwing the helmet, like yeah. that was the coldest picture of all time, yeah. like
there was good stuff. Sports Twitter like is pretty good, and I know it's a good night when I'm scrolling through and it says see more and the last tweet was 34 minutes ago. I'm
yeah.
like, "Oh boy."
Yeah, yeah. I feel like sports Twitter Like, if you follow the right accounts, it's a really nice mix of just jokes. Highlights and jokes and, like, serious and, discourse, yeah. too, at the same time, right? Because yeah. it's, like, I feel like now, like, a lot of sport, like, people who report on sports on Twitter are mainly progressive people, which yeah. I love, right? Because it's like, oh, okay, well, this is great. Like, yeah. we share so many common links, and that's what I think makes me, like, stay on Twitter more. Like, I want to delete Twitter. If I could, if I really could, I would. But it's just, like, the sports highlights, the jokes, the people I follow, like, I've curated my timeline perfectly.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, the one comment that I see that pisses me off, and I'm like, well, I want to delete this app. But other than that, like, the best way to remedy that is just don't look at the replies on political Twitter. That's
it's
it.
My favorite, actually, because it's funny to see people get riled up. It's so funny
They're
for
so
me.
They're so dumb, though.
It's so dumb, but it's so funny for me to see people that exist like that. Like, or even fan accounts that are, like, fans of teams and are...
We talk about Kanye's tweets. How about that?
I don't follow Kanye.
Okay, so here's the
but
best...
But I just see him pop up.
Here's the best part. So, you know who Candace Owens is?
Yeah.
So he said, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. So Candace Owens, you don't know, far-right Twitter, a black woman. And that's important because it's, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, talk about, oh, well, you know, you don't meet a lot of black conservatives and all that stuff, right?
Well,
and
so, Chance the Rapper tweet is like, black people don't have to be Democrats.
Yeah, exactly.
And he
so,
apologized for that.
So, you know, a lot of the far-right Twitter jerks, you know, they're like, hey, hey, liberals, look at, we have a black woman who believes in what we say, right? And so, mm-hmm. like, they jump on that. And then they see Kanye going, like, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. And they jump right on that, right? Like,
yeah.
you see a bunch of replies, a bunch of far-right Twitter. I knew you'd see the light. I knew you would freely think and all this stuff, right? And then recently the other day, he posted a picture of Emma Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And he made a tweet. He's like, my hero, Emma Gonzalez. Far-right Twitter lost their collective minds. They were like... You know what, Kanye? I liked your tweets before, but this is, you know, Emma was a plant, right? You know they paid Emma to do this whole thing. Right? You know the whole Parkland thing. It's just, like, it's incredible. Like, at first, I was kind of worried about Kanye, mm-hmm. but now, like, it's just such a storm
yeah.
of just, like, crumbling, like, mumble. It's such
a cesspool.
It's amazing how many people Kanye was able to get on his side and piss off collectively at the same time. Because, like, when he said about Candace Owens... You know, far-right Twitter loved it, and then, like, far-left...
Well, even when he said, I agree with what Trump's saying.
Yeah, yeah, and he posted, like, a MAGA hat. He said it was signed. So, like, far-right Twitter was like, oh, he supports Trump. You see that, liberals? And then, like, left Twitter, liberals, you know, Democrats are like, you know, Kanye, I liked your music, all that stuff. And then you see him say, my hero, Emma Gonzalez. Yeah. And liberals and left Twitter is like, oh, I knew you. I love you, Kanye. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Kanye. Forrest Twitter is like, Kanye, I can't believe you do this. You know Emma Gonzalez. It was like... You know, I love Kanye for his music, and I'll admit, like, I was kind of, like, worried when he did, like, the whole, like, MAGA thing and, like, oh, yeah, support Trump, whatever. But at this point now, I'm just like, man, Kanye, you just do you. Like, this is, like, the best week for Twitter because I am having a blast reading all these comments and these replies. Like, can't wait for the album, Kanye. I can't wait. It's going to be great. You keep making tweets. It's awesome. And it's just, like...
He's turned the Twitter world on fire, upside down.
He went face heel... so quick for both sides. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I feel like it's just a giant troll job. I remember our friend Jeremy Hecht was like, I'm hoping that my conspiracy is that he's doing this, and then when he drops the album, the intro track is just him saying, I got you, Trump, and far-right Twitter was good, you know, like, but yeah, I know Chance did a whole thing too, like,
and then he had to apologize. I don't get that.
Yeah, because he said black people don't have to be Democrats, which is true, right?
Yeah, I mean, and people always associate Democrats with triggered snowflakes, mm-hmm. and then Republicans with racist.
Yeah, I will agree with conservative Twitter that liberals are just as equally guilty with, you know, attacking people.
Yeah,
and just, you know, being jerks to people who don't agree with it. Right?
People are like thinking, and I had this conversation with numerous people about there's no room for discourse anymore.
Yeah,
like, the right just hates the, like, it just goes to attacking them personally for whatever. You know, just you're being, if you don't agree with a policy, you're a racist or you're a bigot, or if you don't agree with a policy, you're a triggered snowflake.
Exactly.
So, like, why can't we have discussions on these tough issues? Why do we always have to, if you don't believe in gay marriage, you're a bigot. If you don't believe in...
If you didn't support Hillary, you hate women.
It's exactly.
Like, no, like, it's like, you know, like, we can separate a lot of things from the character of the person, right? And that's just one part of political discourse.
Yeah.
But there's just such a binary way of thinking, like it's either you or them.
Yeah.
And it's just, it sucks.
It's like pick one or the other, like pick us. And like I, on a lot of issues, I kind of flip back and forth.
Absolutely,
like,
me too.
I'm not completely left. I lean left on a lot of things, but mm-hmm. I don't also, like, I lean right sometimes on other issues. It's yeah. like, I mean.
Exactly. And it's just like.
Where's the discourse?
It's unfortunate, like, yeah, because, you know, these people who sort of just have that us versus them mentality were given a platform on social media. And I feel like it just became like a disease for like Twitter and Facebook and all that, right? And so like that's why I've, like before I was really like trying to be politically involved, like especially when Bernie was running for the Democrats. I was like, oh, I love Bernie. Like we gotta do this. Hey guys, like the vote's coming up in Canada, blah, blah, blah. Like we gotta do this. And now it's just like, man, I just want to completely tap out from politics. Like,
it's a joke.
I don't have a side anymore, right? Like, it's hard to pick a side when both sides are just equally as guilty and equally as bad towards people and each other, right?
Especially like, in Canada, I think everyone likes to talk about American politics, but our politics are it's hitting
us hard now.
It's a giant joke. I mean, it's Trudeau is a goofball. Andrew Scheer is about as marketable as a piece of bread.
He always looks like he's just had his first cigarette in his picture. It's like it's closed mouth, wide eyed, but like it's looks like he's about to like tear up. And it's like, you good, Andrew? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Full conservative.
Rebel media. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Why is this guy in power? And Jagmeet Singh, I don't know enough about him,
but I like him.
I've heard people don't like him and people like him.
I mean, I feel like I've always aligned with New Democrats a lot. So, I mean, the new Democratic Party. So, I mean, I'll support Jagmeet.
I honestly don't think he will. This sounds super racist, but I don't think he'll win because his name is Jagmeet Singh.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's unfortunate.
Absolutely. I mean, like, you looked at what happened in Toronto when the one reporter was like, oh, what eyewitness says possibly Middle Eastern. Everyone jumped on that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that guy's a goofball.
And then she said later, she was like, oh, another eyewitness said possibly white. And like there was maybe 1,500 more retweets and likes on the Middle Eastern comment than there was on the white comment.
Everyone wanted to believe something. That's the problem.
Yeah. Like, and it's like,
and that's the problem with Twitter and social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it's just, it's still a problem. Like, people want to say how progressive we are, how better we are than, like you said, but it's like, no, like there's still a good amount of racism and prejudice here. And if you want to see an example, just go look at, like, the recent tragedies that happened, right?
Yeah, in Toronto and, like, that. I mean, wasn't he Armenian, I think?
I think so, yeah.
But and he was a Toronto-born.
Yeah, and then obviously, like, the guy who shot up the mosque, like.
He was a white kid.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so, you know, I agree with you. Like, if for Jagmeet, like, it's going to be a tough road ahead. And I think that's why I respect him so much as a leader. It's like, as a potential leader, because it's like.
Yeah.
He definitely knows how many hurdles he's going to have to, like, jump through.
Yeah.
Just to try and secure maybe even 10 seats in the House, right?
Yeah. Well, and I don't think for even, regardless of Jagmeet Singh, whether it was, who was it before, Jack Layton, who was a good one, mm-hmm. one of the better ones.
Yeah, I agree. It's too bad.
New
yeah.
Democratic Party, I don't think will ever.
Oh, they were so close with Jack Layton, though.
They were. I think crazy. That was the closest they will ever come, but I think Canada will always be liberal conservative.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's really just going to come down to who takes away more votes from the winning. From the party. I mean, a big reason why liberals won, well, we wanted something different,
right,
for the last election, but yeah. I think this one it'll be like people who want to vote for liberals but see Trudeau and what he's doing maybe will go NDP, but just split the liberal vote.
I mean, I get the feeling it's going to be exactly how it was in the States. People are going to get complacent. People are going to, you know, the people who should be voting won't be voting. They'll think, oh, well, Trudeau, he'll be fine, you know, it's just conservatives. Like, you look,
I think we're moving towards that conservative movement in Canada.
I think we are, absolutely. I mean, it's you see it on Twitter, you see it on Facebook, and like, you know, Trudeau hasn't really done himself any favors, right?
He hasn't,
like,
done a lot of good.
And like, I agree, like, there are some things where it's just like, you know, Trudeau, like, you know, focus on these issues, right? And it's like, you know, I feel like a lot's going to be riding on this marijuana legalization. I think, you know, he tried passing some, like, new reform for election, which is way too late. Like, he dropped the whole first past the post reform. So that left a salty taste in a lot of people who supported him, right? Like,
a lot of his campaign promises were out the window.
Which you should expect from any politician. But still, like, he seemed like such a beacon of, like, light from, like, the conservative, like, movement, right?
Yeah.
So. I mean,
he kind of still is. He's kind of a hope for
absolutely
for what the you know, I don't want a movement that, like a conservative movement. Absolutely, but I also think too, we see a lot more of it just because of where we live.
Exactly. Yeah. We live in
blue collar Manitoba. That's true. Blue collar Winnipeg. That's generally pretty conservative place.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we might be get a skewed version. I know Toronto, obviously, like that's where elections are won and lost down there.
Vancouver is pretty liberal too.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of liberal strongholds, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. Like it'll be interesting to see. I just hope like people don't get complacent. Like I'm definitely gonna say this year, like or next year, like guys,
2019.
Guys, like vote. Like we need to vote unless you want to see what's going on in the States. Because if you get a conservative guy in government, that's just like. Trump is a symptom of the sentiment in America, right?
And he's not the cause.
No, exactly. And if we were to get something similar like that in Canada, we'd for sure see something happen, right? And we gotta just try and stop that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's more. We don't need that kind of bigotry, racism, all that kind of thing. I mean, it's not that I don't disagree with a lot of conservative policies. It's just a lot of the people associated with that who take that conservative thing and then just push it further right.
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, conservatives are very good with money. They normally help the economy. They're not that, it's not like they're all bad people, but it's just that's you get the
bad people who want to align with a political movement will align with conservatism because it sounds nice to them, because it sounds easy, because the conservatives pick the spots that the liberals don't want to touch.
Well,
right?
And it's favorable towards white rich upper class people.
Right, exactly.
And there's a lot of them and who want to keep their a lot of white people want to keep their status as top dogs, so they want to be voting for those kind of guys, which I get, I guess.
I understand. Why not? It makes sense
logistically. If you want to keep your place, you want to keep the that's why Alberta is always traditionally blue, because of the oil interests and all the big oil companies want their tax breaks. So
exactly,
it's just the way it goes.
It's talking about, I want to just say something real quick, man. We've been talking for maybe 40 minutes. Holy smokes. Okay, we're definitely gonna have an extra segment after this.
Not a single sports thing
yet. Yeah, well, this is a good episode. I remember I saw something like with the rising gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing people attacked on Facebook, hey Trudeau, what's up with your stupid carbon tax? It's like, okay, dude, first, it's summer. Second, that pipeline that Trudeau wants to build for you guys isn't getting built right now. Third, the cost of oil is going up on the markets. Fourth, our loonie sucks compared to the dollar, so it's going to cost more to buy. It's like, use your heads,
I know,
guys.
I know. Yeah, I saw a lot of people. It's a carbon tax.
It's so easy to just pick, and it's like, this is where our political discourse is, and it's so unfortunate, and it's like, I don't know.
It's the same thing with reading articles and discerning people, and the people say the rise of fake news. It's like, well, you know what? I don't think there's a lot of it, really.
No.
I don't.
The only reason it's fake news is because you don't want to go further with it. Like, you don't want to check your sources. You don't
want
to.
You want to, like, a reputable. You really think the Globe and Mail is going to be spouting out lies?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not how news organizations work. You think the New York Times is spouting out fake news?
It takes like a minute to check your sources, but you'll watch the Yodel Kid sing in Walmart for like 5 minutes straight.
It's or you just read the headline, subhead, comment, and get angry.
Yeah.
And then tell all your friends about it. I remember I had to talk down some people about the whole how Justin Trudeau changed the anthem to gender neutral. And they're like, why is he doing? He wants all this kind of stuff for them. I'm like, hey, hold on a minute, guys. The original anthem was actually gender neutral. We changed it in 1914 to honor the men who were fighting World War One.
Yeah.
That's why. They're like, oh, really? I was like, yeah. If you did a little reading further past the first paragraph, you would have, because in most articles I read, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Originally, 1914, it was thou dost command. Now it's an all of thus command.
Yeah.
Which is similar, except it's not 19th century language.
Yeah, exactly.
So, people, why are you gender neutral? Like, and then people are losing their mind about in Manitoba, the NDP want to have a gender neutral option on licenses.
Mm-hmm.
What does that affect you?
I know. That's the worst part to me. It's like,
how does that affect you in your day-to-day life?
Before, I'll admit, I was like, well, this seems kind of weird. But then I thought about it again. I was like, okay, well, I don't really care. Like, why do I care? I should not care, and I don't care. So, fine. Like, gender neutral, bathrooms, licenses, do whatever. Like, as long as you're not, like, stabbing me.
Exactly.
Or harming me.
All it takes is, like, 2 seconds of critical thinking to realize, how is this affecting
critical thinking is something that we are lacking nowadays.
Severely. And people even in the Institute of Higher Learning, such as, I wouldn't even constitute U of M as a higher learning. But like at a university, the critical thinking is like completely.
It's tough. It's tough, man. And we saw it this year. We saw it this year.
I was gonna bring up the arts video.
Yeah,
but
I mean, if you want to,
that was like the most tumultuous time of my university career.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about just the trigger culture. And
all right. So if you don't know, at the Manitoban, there was a short-lived segment called Tobin Talkback, where our friend here Ryan would have a question set for people to ask around campus, like where's the best place to go on where's the best bathroom on campus?
Yeah, silly stuff, fun
just
stuff,
just silly, funny. And there were like what, two or three videos before that arts video that where if you had watched it, you would get the sentiment that oh, this is a joke. This is just one big joke.
Yeah.
It's just for fun. So Ryan makes this video. Asking engineering students what do they think about art students, arts degrees. Yeah. So he asked engineering students what he thinks about art students, because generally in the university world, in the university culture, there's
been like this since the dawn of time.
There's this notion that arts and engineering students have a rivalry, because the engineers thinks arts degrees are useless. The art students thinks that engineers don't think a lot. They don't respect literature and liberal arts a lot. So there's a general rivalry. And it's funny. It's funny, right? Because it's like, it's like nerds versus nerds. It's the best thing ever. It's just like, it's guys in scarves versus guys with iron rings. Like, it's the best thing ever, right? So
it's a great way of putting it.
Ryan does this video, and he's asking engineering students what he thinks about, what people think about arts degrees and engineering students. And, they're all answers you'd expect. Oh, arts degrees are useless. Oh, well, they're pretty cool. Oh, well, art students, they could be blah blah blah.
Yeah,
just
work at McDonald's. Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you heard the recent joke, but recently McDonald's increased their hiring standards to arts degree, master's preferred.
Oh my God.
To work at McDonald's. That was the best part of the video, because he had a satisfying smirk at the end.
Yeah,
like he just nailed it, but he completely did not nail it.
Oh no, that was.
Are you pulling it up?
I'm trying to pull it up. It's on my phone. This is the only place you could ever find it.
Yeah, because it got removed from Facebook. People were just okay, yeah, he's got it. Let's see.
Recently, McDonald's decided they were going to up the hiring standards. You need at least a minimum Bachelor of Arts. Master is preferred to get a job at McDonald's now. So I think this is really nice because it broadens the field of acceptable careers for these students, because before there's basically nothing.
That might be the worst delivery of a joke to ever enter our realm of humanity.
That was so good though, because it was just
it played into everything.
Like if you were to make a sequel of that, what do arts think of engineering students? It's they could have easily just been they can't deliver jokes.
Exactly. And everyone wanted me to do that.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, where's the follow up? I remember sitting in meetings and they're like, I sound like important. I remember sitting in meetings, basically our meeting at the Manitoban, and they're like, well, I was expecting to see the reverse. I'm like, wait, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Really? We all know the jokes.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, why do I have to say that? And I got picked on. I got people called me out for exclusively only interviewing white guys.
This is the worst thing.
But the thing was, I wanted to. I remember walking around with Assad, who's from Pakistan.
Yeah.
So he's a brown guy.
Yeah.
We're walking around. He's like, hey, I sound really racist, but I was like, no, I only want white guys just to be. Perpetuate the stereotype that engineering
it's a joke. It's a fun joke, right? Because it's mainly let's be real, guys. STEM fields are
predominantly white males.
Predominantly white, and they like to exclude women. Like I've talked to some, I've talked to a woman before, and she's like, yeah, like the culture here is not very friendly towards women. So yeah. Anyways, Ryan posts this video, and all of a sudden, people care about Tobin Talkback. They're like, oh, you're racist. You're perpetuating class warfare. It was just the most ridiculous comments. And
if I could, I've screenshotted some of them. And I just remember thinking, also taking it very personally, because for me, it sucked.
Yeah.
I took it super personal because I thought, oh my word, I put the university, the Manitoban, in danger. Like, people are going to hate me now.
It was just you didn't deserve any of that. And it's just So yeah,
and I was getting kind of personally called out too. People were calling me out and saying you should be embarrassed to have me on staff for perpetuating these kind of stereotypes. I'm like, hey, wait, we all knew these exist.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
No, it's just people.
And it's the people in these such a position of privilege, mm-hmm. which they're not willing to recognize that they are in a position of privilege, mm-hmm. That they can get mad about these things. There are people dying out in the world somewhere.
Yeah.
There's people dying in the streets of Winnipeg, yet you have the audacity to call us out and get angry at us for a minute, 55-second long video about with really like the not that bad of things no art student has heard before. Like, every art student's heard that joke before.
Yeah.
I'm an art student. And I remember reading the comments. It was a big thing was they didn't like that it was a white males delivering these jokes.
Oh, it's
so
just...
what's the problem was if, you know, let's say people of color and women of color decided to
do the video.
To make these comments instead.
Yeah.
Would it be acceptable then?
It's like, do you know how many people are making these exact same jokes in almost every engineering faculty that exists in the world?
Pick up the red line in the U of M. All they do is trash art students.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know. Yeah,
Jacob Sanderson, I think I can call him out for this. Jacob Sanderson, our UMSU president now and was an art student body council, told me that he wrote a thing for the Red Line, which is a whatever monthly publication the engineers put out.
Yeah.
Just trashing art students.
Yeah.
Get nothing.
Yeah.
And people calling out the University of the Manitoban to say, aren't you supposed to bring students together? That's not the job of a newspaper if you have any kind of critical thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, that's lacking severely in the arts department where a lot of people are philosophy majors and you have to take, there's critical thinking courses.
Yeah, exactly. There's literally a first year critical thinking course that can help you critically think.
Exactly.
So but no one wants to take it.
No one's, and these are art students. You'd think maybe they would have taken this course and this is kind of funny actually. Like,
yeah, or this really isn't harmful to people because it's just for fun.
I was getting messages from a bunch of people, it was weird, that I hadn't talked to in years, and they said, this is really funny, Ryan, I don't get it, the backlash. And these were people I knew who were intelligent.
Really?
And that kind of said something to me. I was like, well, you know what, I shouldn't be so I'm not gonna say I was offended, but I was just hurt by the comments. I was.
Well, it's understandable.
I mean, it's my face. It was my idea, and it was my thing. Like,
exactly. And people are just finding something to get angry at and try and gaslight you for. It's like, it's not fair at all to you. It's
no,
like,
or to the Manitoban or any of us who, you know,
people just found something. Like, they finally found something to get angry at, and it just blew up out of proportion. And then our editor in chief wrote a statement. It wasn't an apology.
It was me who wrote it.
Was it you?
It was me. Yeah.
Okay, so perfect. I thought it was Garrett.
No, I wrote that.
So Ryan writes this statement, not an apology.
I know. I love it.
It's a statement saying, hey, this is the Tobin Talkback. We were just doing this thing. We were just having fun. We want to develop a cult, like all this stuff that was not apology related. And the same exact person who was like saying, you're perpetuating class warfare, said, this is a really bad apology. It's like, do you not understand that it's not meant to be an apology? Please read. Please use your brain. Stop trying to like, you're just as bad as Ryan by saying, oh, you're perpetuating people against each other. You're starting stuff by like saying all this stuff like, oh, it's class warfare. Oh, you're doing that. Like, it's ridiculous.
I know. And people are like, you need to work. This is not an apology. You're basically telling us that we should find these funny. And I'm like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
10 points for you.
Yeah, way to go.
You figured it out. Great work. Oh, it's...
That was the most maddening just couple weeks. I was so stunned to just ever think of what happened.
This entire episode has just been us just complaining and being angry. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
I think we've been able to air out a lot of, like...
Grievances
and anger. It's nice.
What else you got on your mind?
All right, let's lighten the mood a little bit. What's on my mind? I don't know. You know what? This is a good, really good discourse. I mean,
we had some sports. I mean, again, I will say, just because the Jets are the last Canadian team left does not mean I, as a Canadian, have to cheer for them.
All right, so we'll finish this off, and then we're definitely gonna do that. Do you want to do a half hour after this?
Yeah.
It's 4:13. So.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, so if you haven't turned it off yet, if you're still interested, we're gonna have a longer episode on SoundCloud that I will be posting on Twitter. And I'll be on the link in my Instagram bio. So if you're on Twitter or Instagram, my Twitter is JogoFosho, JogoFosho. Ryan's on Twitter, Steltsy94.
Yep.
Spell that out.
Steltsy94.
And that is also, no, you're Ryan Stelter on Instagram.
I'm Ryan Stelter on Instagram.
On Instagram. I'm Gonzalez, GonzalesSSSSSS. That's six S's for you if you're counting. So yeah, you think that
are just we allowed to swear now? Or we still got 10 minutes?
No, we still got 10 minutes. I'm gonna make a separate recording.
All right.
Okay, well, do you want to save your Jets rant for afterwards?
No, I can say it on the radio.
I mean, fine. This is Winnipeg related, right? So
it's G rated. Okay. I just don't like like I said, the notion that Canadians have to cheer for a Canadian team or jump on the Canadian bandwagon. Who made that rule? I hate almost all the Canadian teams. I'm an Edmonton fan. I hate your Canucks. I hate the Sens. I don't like the Jets. I don't like the...
Who is the most hateable Canadian team, do you think? The Habs.
The Canucks.
Oh, damn it.
You know it's the Canucks.
I know it's the Canucks.
The Canucks or the Sens. Actually, that's a toss-up. I'm supposed to not like the Flames. I don't like the Canucks more than I don't like the Flames.
I feel like Bieksa and Kessler did a lot to really perpetuate some hate against the Canucks. Yep. So you
and
know
they
what?
Were good. They always beat the Oilers, and I hated going in there on Saturday at 8 o'clock and just watched them lose 2-1. It was awful. I hated watching them play. I hated the Canucks, their jerseys, the city, the... Like, my dad always says, you should go to Vancouver. You change your mind. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's beautiful, but I still hate them because of the Canucks.
You know what? I'll accept that villain role. You know what? It's just part of Canucks culture. Canucks are a cursed franchise. Once again, the Rasmus Dahlin sweepstakes, the draft lottery. Who had the lowest? It was like Carolina, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Carolina jumped. It was one team who jumped from picking picking 12th to picking 2nd.
Yeah,
I'm gonna find that right now. And the Canucks, they get to pick 7th. It's just like it's such a cursed franchise, man. It's like there was no other team who needed. I was reading an article on The Athletic. They're like the Canucks have never had
The Athletic whenever you can. Eh?
Yeah, I will. Athletic, please hire me to write for you guys if you're listening to this. It's one person in an article. The Canucks have never had a franchise defenseman. The best defenseman they've had,
Ed Jovanovski.
Yeah, Ed Jovanovski, Matthias Olin, Alex Edler. That's it. But like, no one's really had that like Carlson or Doughty or that kind of player that can just change a game. Where you know Rasmus Dahlin gets like 10 shots in a playoff game where he's playing at right now, right? And it's just like the Canucks. It's so tough to be a Canucks fan now because like it's just. Nothing is going right for them. Are we missing games right now?
Caps and Pens are playing right now,
okay. So I'm
of
trying.
Of course, this is going to air on Tuesday. People are going to be like,
"Oh yeah, guys. Yeah." By the way, this is airing on Tuesday. We're recording on Sunday.
3-1 Caps at the end of the second.
Okay. Who was supposed to? I'm going to find these odds.
My fantasy baseball team is just falling apart on the last day. I'm down 8-2.
I love how Florida, the Florida Panthers posted a tweet saying how they're picking 15th. Like they had like a nice graphic and everything. It's like, we got 15th pick.
Hey, you gotta be proud of something.
Oh man, where do I find this? I'm gonna find the odds because I am angry that the Canucks, of course, are picking 7th in what I have heard has been pegged as one of the like weaker drafts.
I've heard it's if we're going to speak from an Oilers perspective, there's a steep drop off after the top 9 and they pick 10th.
There we go. So you know what? 7th pick, maybe not so bad, but yeah. It's not Rasmus Dahlin.
I don't know anybody in this draft. This is a weaker draft.
Yeah. Why don't we do playoff picks for the rest of for the second round?
I guess, yeah, we're only...
We got like 5-8 minutes.
Seven minutes from the left. West, I'm going to go Vegas Preds. East, I'm going to go Tampa.
Man, Tampa got spanked yesterday, though.
That's okay. They had They had 8 days off. They were rusty.
That's true.
Boston's got one line. You shut them down. Good night, Jim Kite.
Yeah, true. That's true. I'll take the Jets.
Yeah, okay. I could see them winning, too.
I want to see it go to get 7 games, though.
Honestly, game one wasn't that good.
Let's talk about that real quick. So the Preds final Corsi must have been in like the 60% range while the Jets had 30%.
Well, Blake Wheeler called it an analytical nightmare.
Yeah, because I wasn't watching the entire game. I watched the third period, but from what I heard, the Jets were forcing a lot of shots to come outside, which is a lower danger area, obviously, right? They come from the outside.
They let a lot go from the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, I would say, if you're the Preds, is a danger area.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got Subban and Ellis on the blue line, right?
But other than that, it was the points. It was then the rebounds, but they were doing it. And the zone time. Like, Winnipeg shouldn't have won that game. If they would have played another six periods, the the Preds would have eventually won like 6-4.
I was looking at the stats, at the analytics, and I was like, wow, the Jets stole this game from the Preds.
Literally stole it.
Connor Hellebuck stole that game from the Preds. Because it's like...
Yeah, you better have gotten some beers after that game.
Absolutely, because like it should have been like 6-4. It should not have gone in the Jets' favor, right? But they were able to win the game. And yeah, like that was just the craziest thing to me. Like, what was it, 47 shots, 48 shots for the Preds?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Jets had like, what, 18?
Less than 20.
Crazy.
Which is embarrassing even in a normal game to have only 18 shots in a game.
That blew my mind. Yeah, so like, we'll
see. But I can see the Jets winning too. I mean, it's a coin flip for me.
I hope it goes to 7 games, that's all. I want to see it go to 7.
I hope the hockey gets better.
Yeah.
Because I saw a lot of it was the Jets just trapped and just shoved everybody in the neutral zone to shove it down. They're so similar in play style, is so similar that it's almost boring.
Vegas spanked San Jose the first game.
Yeah, well, and then last night, borderline goaltender interference call.
I didn't see that, but...
I hate the NHL.
Was it goalie? Do you think it was goalie interference?
In my eyes, it was, but I didn't think it was going to get called back because I've seen too many other ones where they did get it called back.
Yeah.
Or it didn't get called back.
I didn't
namely
see it.
Cam Talbot in the playoffs last year.
Ah, yes. You post that tweet.
Yeah, I have two of them, yeah. Oilers got shafted last year in terms of goal interference. I hate the NHL for goal interference. It's brutal. It's the worst rule. Also.
All right. You got 3-4 minutes to go.
I don't know why
this.
I just froze. But also, you get a goal interference. Goals disallowed due to goal interference. Why isn't there a penalty called after? If you interfere with the goalie at any other time during the game, like let's say you just hit him and it's not a goal, you're going to get a 2-minute penalty. So like where's the – I guess maybe not having a goal allowed is the punishment enough, but I don't know.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Where's the justice? Where's the justice?
We live in an unjust hockey society.
We do.
How about this? We'll end off with this. I think we saw Sean McKenzie tweet it. We saw Pete Blackburn tweet it.
Are you talking about the dress code?
Dress code in the NHL. I would like to see no dress code. I would like to see 100%. Less suits. And it's just funny reading the comments because it was like, no, you're breaking tradition.
Hockey players don't do that.
Players are classy, unlike NBA. It's like, what? What are you?
You know that saying? That's basically saying white people are classier than
white
people.
No, absolutely.
That's literally what it is.
It's like,
it's race.
It's like, have you not heard what they talk about on the ice and in the locker rooms?
Yeah.
I don't think that's classy. No.
It's 100% to do with race.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to differentiate ourselves from black people.
And I asked my friends on the golf course about it, and they said no. And their reasoning was that they grew up around a hockey culture that you walk, it's a tradition to walk to the rink in a suit. And I was like, okay, that makes sense.
But I still think guys would do it. They just get to be more flashy.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, but would you be like, people will still wear suits, but it's like the one guy, like the younger generation, like, you know, Austin Matthews, you see his like tweet, like his Instagram. It's like, he loves streetwear.
Yeah.
And I would love to see, you know, more
guys' personal tastes come out.
Cause it's so hard to exhibit your personality on the ice and off the ice. And just like, as a person, it's
hockey players get no avenue to express their personality. If you have a personality, you get traded.
And it's like,
AKA PK Subban.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's bad enough that interviews are the same old song every time. Yeah, we put all our pops on there. Yeah, they did really well. Yeah, it was really good. It's like, I just want to see one guy who's just like, man, the other team sucks. You see that stuff out there, man? They couldn't block anything from me. I was hitting my shots. That goalie is terrible. You got to pull that guy. I'm out. I'll see y'all later for the third period. All right, cool. You know, like, I would love to see that because it's like, one, at the end of the day, like, sports is entertainment. And, you know, the WWE is the best exhibition of that entertainment. It's like you have villains, you have heroes. It's like, you know, but I don't want to see this sort of vilification like what like PK gets. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see like, oh, man, this guy's the loudmouth guy from Philly. I can't wait to see how he does against the, like, you know, but I don't want to see like this guy is just such a ruckus on the ice. He should not be. I don't want to see any of that. Right.
Like, again, that has to do with race. But hockey people aren't willing to see that. We don't care if he's black or white. We hate him anyways.
I want to see a white guy do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because they won't, because they know it's ingrained in them since a young child. Yeah. Since they're a young child, that's what they have to do. They see it on TV.
Going on the rinks outside.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
All right, we'll end off with that. All right, well, this is the end of the UMFM hour. I think Ryan and I will continue the discussion off the air. We did mention where you can catch that. I think it was around the 40, 45-minute mark. So if you hear this episode on UMFM, go to umfm.com. You'll see my show, our show now, Tuesday Morning with a Cup of Joe. The episode will be there. And my Twitter should be there, too. So, yeah, any final thoughts, Ryan, for the radio people?
Don't drink and drive.
All right. And I hope you find something good to eat. It's summertime. Food trucks are out, baby. Let's
patio
get it.
Patio season, baby.
Patio season. Go to Boston Pizza. Please sponsor us. I want free pokey pizzas. All right. Later, y'all.